League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Time show on Toledo Sports Leader 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel thinks it's a fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Then Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way. Here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco. 15 feet, 4 inches. Center of cup. President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? This is Drive Time. This is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board, coming to you tonight from the Superstore, the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Going to talk hockey and baseball tonight. Live reports from two of the great venues and minor pro sports. First at 5:15 tonight, we'll be heading down to the Huntington Center, talking to Matt Melzack, voice of, well, the Mudhens and the Toledo Walleye. Tonight he'll be doing the Walleye Game 1 of their best-of-seven series against the Kalamazoo Wings. Game 2 tomorrow night. This is a 2-2-1-1-1 format in the ECHL quarterfinals. Again, Melzack at 5:15. Then we're going to go a couple of blocks south over to Fifth Third Field, where tonight the Toledo Mudhens take on Louisville. And John Wagner will join us there. John with numerous stories today in the Blade about transactions, players that might be called up eventually to Detroit. We're going to find out who's doing what and when they're doing it, and exactly where the Hens are with a 5-3 start. Had a tough time yesterday hitting the baseball. They got beat yesterday in their opener, by the way, 5-1 in front of them. How about this? A great crowd of 12,789. Let's move now to the Spotlight Athletes of the Week. Spotlight Athlete of the Week brought to you by the Superstore and by Drive Time. First of all, congratulations to Bree Pratt of Perrysburg. How about these numbers? Yellow Jackets junior pitcher, off to a 5-0 start this season, has not allowed an earned run, 66 strikeouts in 38 innings, allowed 7 hits and 10 walks. And by the way, she's hitting .438. Last year she was 17-3 with a .99 earned run average. So Bree Pratt, Spotlight Athlete of the Week, Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. On the other side, the boys, Noah Cook, Bowling Green, sprinter, 100 meters, 200 meters, 800 relay team. Won 3 events at the Bobcat Invitational back on April the 7th. He's going on to the University of Pittsburgh. His coach says one thing. Now, I don't know how this happens, but he is, and it's a healthy combination. He is a fan of track and field. He trains with some of the best around town. One of those guys, DJ Michael of Eastwood, and his coaches say, one of the best sprinters they've ever seen. So hats off. Spotlight, Athlete of the Week, driven by Drive Time and the Monroe Superstore. Again, Noah Cook, Bowling Green sprinter. Bree Pratt, Perrysburg pitcher. Congratulations to those guys as well. Again, Walleye tonight. Tigers tonight in Cleveland. I got to correct myself. I said last year that the Tigers were 2-16 against the Cleveland Indians. My apologies. They were 4-14. Not much better, but let's get the record straight there. Trevor Bauer tonight going for the Cleveland Indians. It'll be Daniel Norris for the Detroit Tigers. Norris, by the way, he won one of those four games last year against the Tribe. Again, this is the Reed Funeral Home Detroit Tiger Report. Lineup tonight for the Tigers, Kinsler at second, Castellanos batting second at third base. Cabrera will play first, V-Mart's the DH, Justin Upton in left. Collins will play right tonight. Alex Avila will catch. Jacoby Jones in center, and Iglesias is at short. Santana at first. Lindor at short. Guyer in left. Encarnacion, the DH for the Cleveland Indians. Ramirez at second. Diaz at third base. Almonte in right. Perez catching. And former Tiger Austin Jackson in center field. Three-game series against the Cleveland Indians, which concludes Sunday, Easter Sunday at Progressive Field in Cleveland. I got, you know, this was called to my attention today, too. The Lions, of course, unveiling their new uniforms. We are Detroit Lions, you know, radio network. I was thought about doing something on this today, but I got to be honest with you. For me, anyways, just a whole lot of fanfare. That doesn't say I didn't like the new look. I mean, but basically this was an event for the season ticket holders, an event, I think, for the new president, Wood, to come out and get involved in some of the process. So far, he's done pretty good hiring Bob Quinn from New England. Again, I'm not denigrating anybody for this event, but it was a season ticket holders event. You know, no banners hanging, as I was told today by a couple of sales associates up here at the Monroe Superstore. You got no banners up there. Big event, got a lot of play on social media. And again, I don't think they look bad, but 4,000 season ticket holders were invited down there. A lot of food, a lot of drink and some other things. But to me, and a good excuse, I guess, if you're a PR marketing guy, to keep the Detroit Lions, you know, in the news today with the unveiling these new uniforms. So, you know, that what was on tap today, basically. Tigers tonight, Walleye in the playoffs, Hens at home, Lions new uniforms, Spotlight Athlete of the Week. Back with Matt Melzack from the Huntington Center, downtown Toledo. Game one tonight, the Kalamazoo Wings and the Toledo Walleye. My name's Mike Miller. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name is Mike Miller, 535. Tonight we'll be going out to Fifth Third Field, live preview, Mud Hens tonight, taking on Indianapolis, where Indianapolis beat them last night by a score of 5-1. I think I misspoke a couple of moments ago and said Louisville. It's Indianapolis. 5-1 winners last night. Mud Hens off to a 5-3 start. So we're going out there for a live preview right after the TAS Electronics Update, sports and weather. We've had a big week with Walleye personnel on here. We had Dan Watson, the coach, on yesterday, ECHL Coach of the Year. We had Dane Walters on, Player of the Week, and now the voice of the Walleye and the Mud Hens. Contacted him this morning. No, he wasn't sprinting back and forth from Fifth Third Field all the way down to the Huntington Center to do an inning of baseball and a period of hockey. He has done something similar to that, but told me that was not the case tonight. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Well, Mike, I got an update for you here. They did ask me to come over and tape a quick segment for the pregame show for baseball. So I'm walking right as we speak from one venue over to the other.
You know what? You ever see Karnak and Johnny Carson? I knew this was going to happen to you. Absolutely, they were going to pull you to both venues. No doubt about it. Good stuff. Hey, a great time of the year. Kalamazoo Wings, Toledo Walleye, best of seven series in that 2-2-1-1-1 format. And you know what, Matt? I got this from Coach Watson last night and from Dane Walters as well, who helped me get on the air. You know, basically, this is not... Listen, when you look at the records, Toledo should advance, but both those guys were impressed the way that Kalamazoo plays the game. I know it's an overused term, but they play it the right way.
Yeah, they certainly do, Mike, and I think we're going to see that in this series as well. I don't expect that we'll see anything, kind of out of the ordinary or, you know, behind the play, those kind of things. They'll play the game the right way. They'll go to the net hard. They'll be physical. There's no doubt about that. But there won't be anything, I don't believe, that'll be dirty. I think it'll be a pretty strong and clean series, but a fun one, I think, with the two great cities, Toledo and Kalamazoo, meeting up for the first time in the ECHL playoffs.
No question about it. Longtime rivals. I saw some of the notes on the series here today. That 84 series, by the way, I called that series. Here I am aging myself again, but it was a best of three. And I remember Kalamazoo for years after I'd went up there, they were bitter about the format. Two out of three is a very, very tough series. The last time these two clubs got together, all the way back in 1984. My name is Mike Miller, joining us, the voice of the Toledo Walleye, Matt Melzak, here on Drive Time. Of course, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. You mentioned no chippy stuff behind the plate, Matt Melzak, but if you could, just give me a little thumbnail sketch here of the style that Kalamazoo plays.
Well, I think the one big difference between the two is, as you know, the Walleye, they're going to get up and down the ice, love to get into transition heavy. Kalamazoo's kind of a little bit on the other side of the coin. They love to, you know, get the puck deep. They're going to crash. They're going to go hard to the front of the net, just kind of try to create as much traffic as they can. There's going to score a lot of goals in and around the net. They're not going to make a lot of pretty plays. They're not built that way. They're built as a banging team, a crashing team, and that's the way they're going to play. It's the way the style that Nick Bootlin has won with over the years. He's usually very strong in the special teams. This year, it's been kind of a nemesis for him. It has not gone like normal for him. Usually Kalamazoo very strong in the special teams. They're kind of middle of the pack or bottom part of the ECHL in that regard. But for the most part, they're going to go hard to the front of the net, Mike, and that's what Toledo's got to be ready for.
Hey, you know, you mentioned Nick Bootlin there, Matt. Again, Matt Melzak joins us here on Drive Time, and it was one of the things I wanted to touch on. He's in his ninth year now, I see, with Kalamazoo. That says volumes. That says chapters. That says, you know, gone with the wind type of volume. 9 years in the ECHL. Number one, ownership must be very happy with what you do, but you must be well respected by everybody at this level. That's a pretty good run in the ECHL.
Boy, no doubt about it, Mike. It certainly is. And one thing that we see each and every year with his teams is they always get better as the season goes along. They're a team that all of a sudden you look and, you know, November, December, and boy, they're really not doing a lot. They're hovering, they're under 500, or they're right around there. Then all of a sudden, that second half of the year, off they go, and they start playing great hockey. They're very difficult to handle at some points during the year, and it is really neat to see. It's about every year. You can almost set your watch to the calendar flips to the next year on January 1st, and the Kalamazoo Wings flip to a different gear at the same time.
Hey, tell me a little bit about Alden Hirschfeld, half two, local guy and fan favorite, and another guy that you've helped me corral and get on this show on numerous occasions. What's the update on him, and when do you think Toledo fans will see him?
Well, he's getting close, Mike. I mean, he's going to have to work with a little brace there, but I mean, I think once he's comfortable with that, I think they want to see it progress a little bit more. We're talking about the knee that he suffered there against Tulsa a few weeks back, and I think it's progressing to the point where we could still see him in this series, Mike. I'm not sure when, but the latest update I had on him was that we might be able to see him at some point here against Kalamazoo.
I'm going to let you go, but here's a good question. Listen, the goaltenders are always a factor come playoff. If you're going to have success, you better be getting good goaltending. And we know the big guns, of course, with Birchbach and the Spink brothers, the Twins, and so on and so forth. Anybody else in this series for Toledo, Matt Melzack, if the Walleye are going to have success? I'm not saying completely under the radar, but anybody else you might see as a factor for Toledo moving through this series that you kind of go, wow, boy, did we need that, and nice contribution.
Well, I'll tell you what, one guy that we just haven't seen a lot this year, and we know how good he can be. We didn't see him again the first seven games of the year. He played the month of October with us, then was gone in the American Hockey League, played 52 games for Rochester this year, and that's Kyle Bonus. He came back and joined us on Friday last week, potted a goal on Friday, and then actually didn't pick up a point on Saturday in that 10-0 game, but he's been playing a lot of center in the American Hockey League, looks very comfortable in that spot, and he's a guy, Mike, that 2 years ago scored 36 goals in a season for Toledo, and then another 9 in the 3 rounds of the postseason that year. He's a guy, I don't think you're right, not under the radar, obviously, because we know his credentials, but I think a lot of fans may have forgotten a little bit about Kyle Bonus because he was missing so much with the American League this year.
Matt, any thoughts before I let you go on this, on the Lions unveiling their new uniforms today? A little scuttlebutt among the sales staff up here at the Superstore. I know your love for the Honolulu blue and silver. Tell me a little bit about it. What did you think?
I like them. Anytime you change, you know, little tweaks are fine with me. And I didn't think it was a massive overhaul or anything like that, but I did like the fact that Bob Quinn let it slip out that when we get the regular NFL schedule next week before, or what, in 2 weeks before they get to the NFL draft, and then the NFL had to scramble to get the schedule, we are going to release the schedule in a couple of weeks. I think they elevated the NFL's timetable on it. I love it. I like that the Lions are making some waves. Maybe 1 year, Mike, and it might be in the next couple where we're actually talking about the Lions deep in a playoffs. It could happen. It's possible. It might happen.
You know, there's no question about that. I'm with you 100%. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon here. And you're exactly right. I mean, I told the guys here today, I mean, you know, really, it's a great PR thing. You invited the season ticket holders. You unveil the uniforms. But that's not really what Lion fans are looking for to make news right now. All right, listen, I know you're going back and forth venue to venue. Well, you got a couple free minutes there. Could you just stop at that Tony Paco's there and pick me up a couple dogs?
I will do so. I'll run them out to you up there, and then I'll get back for hockey before we go. I appreciate it, Mike, as always, my friend.
Good stuff. Listen, I'll have the remote in my hand. The Meller roster headed north up to Frank and Moose. So I'm home with the dogs. I'll probably have some Tigers on. I'll probably have some NHL playoffs on, and I'll have Matt Melzack on as well. Good job. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, as always.
Matt Melzack, voice of the Toledo Walleye, game one tonight against the Kalamazoo Lynx. You know, I text Matt this morning. I said, what are you going to do? You going to do both games, sprinting back and forth between both venues? He goes, no, I'm not going to do it. And you could kind of tell Matt was out of breath there. They did call him down to fifth, third field to, you know, do a couple of tapings and some stand-ups here. So he did have to run down to the ballpark and get his way back to, again, the Huntington Center to get things rolling tonight against Kalamazoo in game one. TAS Electronics, by the way, brings you sports, also brings you a little bit of weather. TAS Electronics, 4-star window tint, professionally installed in your vehicle for $149. Again, TAS Electronics, updates right around the corner. Hey, I want to mention this as well, everybody, and I think everybody that lives in this area, somebody's been affected by this thing, but there's an event coming up very, very soon here that I want to touch on at the back of the hour here that I want everybody to get involved with, and that's Hockey Against Heroin. It's at the Monroe Multisports Complex, Saturday, April the 29th, 7 o'clock. I'll talk more about it, ways to get involved, and so on and so forth. No question about it. It's It's an epidemic, and finally it's being brought to the forefront and the light for a lot of people who have been affected by this. Again, hockey against heroin. It's a hockey game, of course, at the Monroe Multisports Complex, 7 o'clock, Saturday, April the 29th. TAS Electronics, right around the corner with the updates. Traffic is always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. My name's Mike Miller. This is Drive Time, and it's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Superstore. I want to remind everybody that all of our guests join us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza. Ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. How about this special this week? Giant five-topper or specialty pizza. Again, my favorite, the Tony Paco's Pizza, $14. That is through April the 26th. Again, glad to have you on board. Just did a live preview from the Huntington Center. Where the Toledo Walleye tonight take on the Kalamazoo Wings, game one of their best of seven ECHL quarterfinal series. The Toledo Mudhens are off to a 5-3 start. They got beat last night in their home opener. All the ceremonies, pomp and circumstance that go on with an opening day, 12,000 plus down at third, 5-1. Indianapolis wins it. Last night or yesterday late afternoon. They go at it again tonight. Joining us now, Toledo Blade beat writer for Bowling Green Falcon Sports and the Toledo Mudhens as well. John Wagner joins us. Hello, John. How are you?
Well, now I'm really hungry while I'm hearing all about these Vito's pizzas. Come on, Mike. You know better than
to talk
about pizza in front of me. Come on.
You know, I got to tell you, and listen, I know they're a sponsor, but I got to tell you, to all my listeners, and I know Vito and some other folks that have franchises in the area, I want you to try one pizza. Try the Tony Paco's thin crust. I hate to tell you how many slices of that I can eat. It's almost, please don't have a telephone on and anybody filming me when I get around one of those things. I just asked Melzack, by the way, too. I talked to him this morning, John. I said, what are you going to do, Matt? Are you going to be going from fifth, third field over to the Huntington Center? And he goes, no, I don't have to do that this year for a change. And lo and behold, they called him to go tape something at fifth, third before he did the hockey game tonight. Speaking of food, I just asked him to stop at Tony Paco's because he wasn't busy and pick me up a couple of dogs. He declined, but we're going to work on him anyways. Hens 5-3. I know it's a very small sampling here, more of a veteran cast when you go up and down that lineup. I looked at the box score today, and Presley and Fonte and Hicks we know about. Moya had an error last night. Read your story. Not surprising there, and I'm not being vicious, but that's one thing we've talked about in the past, working on the glove. James Loney's an interesting subject as well, but first things first, 5-3 after eight, and first blush, Mr. Wagner.
Well, the Tigers put together a veteran team. I mean, if you look at the average age of the lineup, the roster, the position players, they're all, that it's over 30 years old. I mean, that is, for AAA baseball, that's really, really old. And having said that, though, it seems these are guys who can still play. They've shown what you would expect out of a veteran team, and that is the ability to come back late, to not, you know, even when you fall behind by a run or two, that doesn't mean you're out of it. It just means you're behind. You need to get going. Especially on the road, they were able to come back in three different games to win. So that was, you know, that's indicative of a veteran team that knows how to go out and grind out a game. The starting pitching has been outstanding, and that's what wins in baseball anywhere. You know, you're the old Jim Leland sign that momentum is next day's starter, and it's all about getting good starting pitching, and that's what the Hens have gotten to this point. So, 5-3, a good start in first place in the IL West. And yes, you mentioned small sample size, but if you figure that the Hens are going to be home for just three more games today, tomorrow after late afternoon, I think a 5:30 start, and then a 2 o'clock Sunday, and then they go back on the road. That's kind of a tough start to a season, but it's a nice challenge for a veteran team that's probably been on the road and fought some of those wars and knows what to do to be successful.
Well, John talked about a veteran team and their average age. Very young, by the way, for broadcasters and writers. So let's not get too carried away with that one. Hey, tell me a little bit about, I felt bad, and I understand the numbers, and I think a lot of people did, and I follow the Tigers and just a couple of teams that I really follow closely in sports, and the Tigers are one of them. The Ohio State Buckeyes, another, and grew up with those teams. And had Tom Gage, by the way, amazed the other night on this show that I was able to name the starting Tiger lineup in 1961. Back in the age thing. Don't worry about that. But I got to tell you, Omar Infante, what a tremendous spring he had. Would you be totally surprised that if a major league team gets, I'm sure this isn't his deal, that he can opt out of a AAA deal. Maybe it's in the collective bargaining situation. He was outstanding in the spring. I hated to see him get set down. I got it. I understand it, with the likes of Machado and other guys here in their option situations. How's Omar doing? 0-for-4 last night I saw.
Yeah, the numbers haven't been good, but it's also a small sample size. And you're right. His situation is that at the end of spring training, if you'll notice, he was playing 9 innings every day. Those were basically auditions for other teams to take a look and see, will Omar Infante fill a need that we have better than somebody we have on our roster right now? The answer there at that time was no. Injuries may change that, and yes, it's one of those where the Tigers would like to have him in case there's a need in Detroit, but if there's not a need, or there's a need somewhere else, he will be given the clearance to go and fill in for another team. So, and he's earned that. I mean, with a big spring, he's earned that with the professional way he handled the demotion. He could have fought and complained or cried or why am I going to Toledo and why me? And instead he came to Toledo realizing, now I've got to prove myself in the regular season. It didn't work during spring training. I got to keep it going. So, those are the guys that, I hate to say you root for them, but you kind of do. I mean, you wish well for them. How about that? You have no problems if it's a happy ending for a guy like an Omar Infante who knows the game and understands it and, is a professional in every way and is not misrepresenting what their situation is or singing the blues or, crying because it didn't go his way. He's on to the next. So it's kind of hard not to root for guys like that.
John Wagner joins us from the press box at Fifth Third Field, Indianapolis, and the Hens tonight, and I apologize for this, John. John's conversation is brought to you by Vito's Pizza. He's on the Vito's Pizza phone line. James Loney, by the way. Let's talk about him a little bit.
Okay. Is he a specific topping on a Vito's pizza? I missed that.
If he goes 4-for-4 tonight with 6 RBIs, I think Vito would consider it.
Yeah, no, the Tigers signed him as a free agent a few days back. He is not with the Hens right now. He's still in extended spring training, and it's kind of working himself back into shape because between the end of spring training and the start of the season, there's really almost a week's worth of time. And by the time he had signed, it was almost 2 weeks worth. So, it takes a few days to knock the rust off and get back into playing shape and so forth. So he is in extended spring in Lakeland getting ready to go. The question is he coming to Toledo or coming to Detroit? Every indication is at this point that he does not fit the Tigers roster, that he'll be coming to Toledo. Efren Navarro, who's been the first baseman for the Hens, is amongst the IL leaders in hitters. He's in hitting. He's hitting .393, so, James Loney better be swinging it if he's going to replace Navarro here. Something that I've postulated, and I have no evidence that says this is going to happen or anything, but what my guess is that the slow start that Miguel Cabrera was off to, people have been wondering if that's been injury-related. He kind of tweaked his back, I believe, in the World Baseball Classic. And, obviously he's been good enough to go, but I'm not sure that he's 100%. And so people have been wondering if the injury is the cause for his slow start. what I've postulated is that if the Tigers decide to put him on the DL, it would sit better with your fan base if you were calling up James Loney to play first base than if you were calling up Ephraim Navarro. And that has nothing to do with ability or skill or anything. It just has everything to do with name recognition. Loney has been in the big leagues for 10, 11 seasons. Navarro's basically been a reserve here and there. I mean, Navarro's been hitting great here. You know, if there's a need, a guy who's hitting 393, it's hard to go wrong there. But my guess is that they wanted to have a quote-unquote name that in case they were sending Cabrera to the injury list for even a short time, that they could come up with a big name to replace him. And again, that's a guess, folks. There's no insider whisperings or anything like that. It's just strictly a guess.
No, I was thinking the same thing before you even said that. I mean, is this insurance for somebody in the Detroit Tiger organization? John Wagner joins us here from the press box at Fifth Third. John's getting even with me because I've made him hungry now using words like postulated, and of course he doesn't realize I graduated in a class of 1100 at Toledo Whitmer, and I was somewhere in the middle of the pack. So again,
when you said postulated, I thought you were trying to talk about pasta. So I mean, we're just not going to get away from it, Mike. It's just relentless.
No, and listen, I know where I'm going. As soon as I walk out of here, there's something planned in that vein, believe me.
How about
Michael Rojas? Anything there? I know you've known him from prior, you know, relationships in the Tigers organization, and anytime there's a change with the skipper, things change a little bit, and I guess I don't want to say fundamentals, but standard operating procedure in a lot of areas, not only on the field, but with media and so on and so forth. Anything there you can share with us?
Well, I'll tell you, an interesting one that I think for Mike, he is very driven to succeed. I mean, he is not a big-name manager, and this is no offense to Mike Rojas, but, you know, he did not have the major league career of a Larry Parrish or a Lloyd McClendon or a Phil Nevin, who are the other Mudhens managers, you know, over basically the life of Fifth Third Field. He's basically had to go out and kind of prove himself to a degree. And so as a result, he's very driven to be successful. It was interesting that today before batting practice, there were 7 or 8 guys doing early hitting, and they followed that up with a little PFP, pitcher's fielding practice. And usually that's something you maybe see as a refresher in July. You normally don't see that on your second home day on your home field.
Boy, that is a very, very good observation there. Before I let you go, Walleye opened tonight. 12,000 at Fifth Third last night. Walleye, I'm going to guess, will have 6,500 plus in there. Playoffs, it always drops a little bit because some season ticket holders don't renew. The game after a home opener that had 12,700 plus in there. Downtown tonight watching sports, we'll bet a pizza on it. How's that? What's your guess on an over-under for attendance for both?
Oh, man. I'm not sure what the Hens are expecting, but it's the day after, so there is a little bit of a hangover there. So and also you're very dependent on weather. People don't usually buy the tickets for April 14th in advance because you don't know what you're going to get weather-wise. You know what? What number were you thinking, Mike? What did you threw out a 8 for the or a 6 for the Walleye? Are you thinking 10 total? Because I'll take the over if your number's 10.
All right,
I'll take the over.
And this is announced attendance, of course.
Right.
Tickets sold. People don't have to show up. This isn't drop count.
Yeah,
okay,
and,
I'm gonna go
and
65.
See that. And I'm playing a trick on you there, Mike, because even if nobody shows up at Fifth Third Field, that number is going to be 4 because of all the season tickets and stuff that they sold. So
okay, 6,500 at the Huntington. I'm going to go. I'm going to go 55. Well, hold on. I'm going to go 5,500 tonight. Okay, so are we saying over the over/unders 10,000?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go over.
Right? Yeah, I am too. I'll bet your number for the Walleye is low. I'm betting a lot of people are excited, and especially that game. You know what game one is like. Game one, everybody comes in and hits the ice flying. So I'm betting your walleye number for game one is low.
Okay, but we're going total now. I don't want to keep you.
Right.
I know you got to get to work here. How about 11,000?
Well, I got to go eat, Mike. That's what you're holding me up from. Between talking about the pizza and, you know, knowing all the food back here,
Listen, there's a Vito's Pizza coupon on the way to your address, and I know where to find you, okay? So that's not a problem. Over under 11, what do you think, both venues?
Now that's, you know, I'm counting on my walleye here, I guess. I'll still take over on 11.
All right, just for the sake of a pizza. And you're going to win it anyways. Vito's Pizza, of course. You're on our Vito's Pizza phone line. I'll take the under 11,000.
All right, there you go.
Have a good night at the ballpark. I'll be reading in the morning, and have a great weekend, John, and the holiday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. Good talking to you.
John Wagner, Toledo Blade beat writer. Boy, he is one knowledgeable cat when it comes to roster moves and what the Mudhens are thinking, what the Tigers might be thinking, and a lot of information there. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. It's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. That was John Wagner on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Special, giant five topper, specialty pizza, $14. That's through April the 26th. Hey, I talked about that hockey against heroin game coming up on Saturday, April the 29th. For additional information, contact Major Jeff Kent at 734-240-7730. Now, I'm going to read that number just before we close the show out tonight if you didn't have something handy. Or remember this, hockeyagainstheroin@gmail.com. The game is Saturday, April the 29th, Monroe Multisports Complex. Again, 7 o'clock faceoff, Saturday, April the 29th. Back to close it out after this. This is Drive Time driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Banging your head on the steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Again, that phone number for that hockey game coming up at the Monroe Multisports Complex is 734-240-7730. That's Major Jeff Kent. The hockey game is Saturday, April the 29th at 7 o'clock, or email hockeyagainstheroin@gmail.com for more information. All right, everybody, I'd like to thank all of our guests tonight. Of course, they appeared on the Vito's Pizza phone line, giant five-topper or specialty pizza, $14 through April the 26th. First, Matt Melzack joined us, well, from two venues. They had him running back and forth from Fifth Third Field over to the Huntington Center. Preview the seven-game set between the Toledo Walleye and the Kalamazoo Wings. My old team, by the way, Kalamazoo. Tough. Well, listen, you got to root for Toledo, no doubt about it. It's been 8 years, and Kalamazoo, a great community as well. But they're going to have a tough time against a Walleye team that won 51 games this year. Always comes down to goaltending. I'll have the remote in my hand tonight, by the way. Little Tigers, probably. Little Stanley Cup playoffs, probably Columbus and Pittsburgh. And keeping track of the Walleye and maybe the Hens a little bit as well. But again, thanks again to Matt Melzack making his way from ballpark to the ice in downtown for his preview tonight. John Wagner joined us from the press box at Fifth Third Field, where the Hens last night opened up, or late afternoon, in front of 12,789. Indy beat them 5-1. Those two teams go at it again tonight. First pitch about 35 minutes from now. As always, this show is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Located up here at 15160 South Dixie Highway in Monroe. We'll do it again Monday, everybody. Right here from the Superstore. Special thanks to Ben Lahowski, our producer, our engineer tonight. Happy Easter, everybody. Talk to you on Monday.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.